Well, yesterday, we finally got some detail in relation to the future easing of restrictions. Remember, all restrictions, well, the majority at least, were due to have been lifted this coming Friday. It was called Freedom Day. Well, some restrictions have been eased, others won't. And indeed, there's still some uncertainty in many sectors in relation to what they can and indeed cannot do. Well, we've decided on the programme this morning to gauge some reaction from business people in the Northwest to yesterday's announcement. We're going to start off with Joe Daly from the Key West restaurant in Donegal Town. Joe, good morning to you.
Morning, John. How are you?
I'm not bad.
This morning.
And it's great to catch up with you again on the programme. The obvious question to get us underway, what's your reaction to yesterday's announcement? And as a business person, how does it impact you?
Well, as a businesswoman and president of the Donegal Women in Business Network, I welcome any easing of restrictions because we've done our utmost to try and clamp this thing down to protect our vulnerable and to keep society safe. But I have to say, I'm not here to government bash, but the messaging around the new lifting of guidelines is completely, it's very vague. Right.
And the term mixed messaging is something I've heard used to describe this time and time again over the past, well, less than 24 hours. But so many people are confused.
Yeah, now for me, right, if you're going to bring in guidelines and they have to be workable and they have to be, you have to understand them, like the hospitality industry or the business has to understand them. But more importantly, the general public has to understand them because they're the ones that are going to be going into various different venues. They need to know the rules. I mean, I'll just give you an example, okay? You can go into a bar, you have to sit down at a table, right? You cannot go up to a bar in a local pub and order a drink, right? But if you're in a nightclub, you can go up to the bar and order a drink. Now, there's a lot more people, you know, you could have, and I'm delighted for the nightclub venues that are getting open, and I'm delighted for our young people, because our young people have been amazing, and they have doubled down and done so much, you know, which is what's asked of them to try and help with this pandemic. But I'm glad to see they're getting a release. But as I said, all these rules need to be workable and understandable. And I mean, there's so much confusion, right? Okay, weddings, I'm delighted, thank God, no restrictions on them. So you could have 300 people at a wedding and they can go to the bar, from what I understand. But again, you can't go into a local bar. Like, we, your man in a local pub, cannot go up and sit at the bar and have a drink.
They wanted to rule out, as they call it, I think, the virtual drinking, as they've referred to it in many ways. And there's a major lack of consistency here right across the board. And I completely agree with you on that. One of the big talking points for the hospitality sector as well, Joe, over the last number of months has been the checking of COVID certs. Now, we are getting to a time of year where most people now will definitely be dining indoors as opposed to outdoors. That may have worked for the summer, but the numbers that's going to be sitting outside dining or having a drink or a coffee or whatever are going to be deteriorating and decreasing considerably over the next number of days and weeks and months. So talk to me about how this process has worked for you so far, and how do you feel now that it's going to remain in place until February, at least until February?
Well, it might be a very unpopular thing to say, I don't know, but I'm quite happy because 93% of adults out there are fully vaccinated. So they all have their COVID certs. So, I mean, most people feel very comfortable walking into a restaurant knowing that their COVID cert is going to be checked and that they can sit down at a table and the person behind them coming in the door is going to be checked. There's a sense of reassurance, you know, there. I'm quite happy with that.
You're happy with that. And there's a number of people that I've spoken to as well are saying, believe it or not, we like to go to a premises that we know certs are going to be tested and checked and we know we're going to feel safe as a result. However, we're also hearing cases of and reports of businesses that aren't maybe checking the number of certs that they should be. And we're equally hearing reports coming in that, well, some businesses and staff who have checked these particular certs are being abused when doing so.
I have to be honest, I've faced very little of that. I might have had once or twice over the summer, but, you know, I'm in business a long time, so you kind of, you know how to deal with these situations. And it's a simple thing: is if you have your cert, great, you're more than welcome to come on in. If you don't, we'll accommodate you outside. That's it in a nutshell.
Okay, you're not experiencing that, and that's good to hear. Going back up now to full capacity, and more people obviously coming in, from a business perspective, that is absolutely fantastic news. Obviously, the more people you can get into a premises at any given time, the better. But as a result, are you worried in any case that, obviously, again, with more people coming in, there is always a greater chance, maybe, unfortunately, of contracting COVID? So is that a fear? Is that a concern for you, for your staff? And how will you operate in relation to masks being worn now in the future?
Well, we fully intend to wear masks throughout the winter season in Key West Restaurant, because I personally would prefer to see somebody wearing a mask if they're serving my food. So I am going to wear a mask when I'm serving somebody else's. So I have no issue with that, and neither have any of our team. And when you think about it, we're heading into a flu season now. Not one of us had a flu or a head cold last year. I know we weren't working, but I mean, none of us experienced that. And I think when we had our own case, that it was the mask that saved us from getting it. So I fully back to use the mask, and I'm quite happy to wear masks all winter. It's no big deal. It's not a big ask. And I mean, and I can't see why people would make an issue of it if they only have to wear it for 5 minutes walking into a restaurant till they get to the table, while the people that are working there can wear it for 7 hours. I mean, you know, we can do it. It's no big deal. You get so used to it, and you feel actually more comfortable and protected. And I think the general public are happy that we are wearing masks.
All right.
I think we're going to do that going forward.
Okay. One or two other key points that emerged from yesterday as well, and it seems, again, for the entertainment, for the hospitality sector, a lot is focusing in maybe on antigen testing. Is this something that should be rolled out in a greater way to protect those who are working in the hospitality sector and indeed those who are availing of the hospitality services?
Absolutely, I do. And also, I think it should be rolled out, because for people there, for whatever reasons, and it's their own personal choice, that don't want to get the vaccine, at least if they can do an antigen test, and if it's done, I see that in some of the European countries like Belgium and places like that, you go to a chemist, you get a professional antigen test done, and then that is sent to your phone in a QR code, so then you can enter a premises, show that you don't have COVID, and you can carry on. Now, that is one way of moving forward. So you have, for those 7% that don't want to get vaccinated, it's about 370,000 people. So, I mean, that could be a way forward for them. You know, for whatever reason, they don't want the vaccine. At least if they can get an antigen test to prove that they don't have COVID, well, then, you know, that's a way for them to be able to integrate into society and mix in venues and places like that.
All right. Finally, one criticism that I've heard over the last 24 hours, again, in relation to the changes here, is that there's a lot of personal responsibility here on business owners to ensure that everything has been done, and maybe rightly so, to prevent any possible spreads of COVID. But there are those in the business community that would feel that maybe there is too much personal responsibility, too much pressure being placed on them. And in some ways here, the government have sold them short and very much thrown them under a bus.
I would be very much inclined to agree with that.
Please expand.
Well, they've said, this is what you have to do, now get on with it. Okay? So it was up to us to kind of to figure it all out, how to make it workable, and you felt very much like you were just, there's your lunch, off you go to school, you sort it out. So there wasn't a lot of support put in there. And I also think that, I mean, I think the guards should have been given more power to back us up, to help us up. Now, it's not so bad as a restaurant, but for the likes of pubs and stuff like that, where you might have had people that might not have been as agreeable or amenable to the rules. I mean, there's only so much the public can do, whereas if they knew they had the support of the guards, and if the guards had the right powers, they'd be able to back up, you know, the publicans. And I felt that was one place where we were let down. If the guards had been given more powers, then that would have given us more assurance and reassurance.
And speaking of guards and the whole legislation as well, Joe, it's again something that has emerged from this is almost the whistleblowers in the industry, those businesses perhaps that might report another, if you know, maybe aren't strictly adhering to the guidelines that are in place. I know it's a divisive issue, but what's your view on that? Should reporting of businesses that are deciding to flaunt the regulations, should that be taking place?
I'm not sure if flaunting the regulations is the right word.
But there are some businesses, unfortunately, out there that might not be, well, following the regulations as closely as they should.
Well, then they should have ramped up COVID inspections, and they should have had, the government should have had a system in place where if there's a problem or an issue or a breach, boom, you send out an inspector, and if that venue isn't complying, close it for a day, close it for 2 days. But I mean, we have to be very careful as well that, you know, any complaints have to be investigated too, that they're fully valid and not just, you know, malicious too. So we have to be very, very careful in how we do this. Because I would think 90% of venues or 99% of venues are going to be very compliant or as compliant as can be. But there has to be a way to kind of, I won't say penalise, but maybe to kind of give a sharp slap on the butt to someone that isn't compliant and have a mechanism there to put the fear into them that if you don't abide by the rules and abide by the guidelines, we are going to enforce a closure order. Mm.
Well, one of the sectors that has been hardest hit by the restrictions has to be the entertainment and live events sector. Well, what does yesterday's announcement do for them? Michael Nocton from the Clonry Hotel in Letterkenny is well known to us here as a county councillor and indeed as president of the LGFA, but we're going to talk to him with his hotel hat on this morning. Michael, good morning to you. Thank you indeed for coming on to the programme this morning. Some information out there yesterday, but the overriding feeling that I am getting from a lot of those in the entertainment sector is that there are anonymies here in play. There's a certain amount of confusion. If you pardon the pun here, Michael, are the entertainment sector still dancing in the dark to a certain degree?
Good morning, John, and good morning to your listeners. Yes, John, first and foremost, I would like to say that basically, you know, it's good news. I mean, basically, that Friday is coming. Basically, there's light at the end of the tunnel. We waited a long time, and hopefully, you know, we have come the far side of it. Yes, there's still some regulations and there's still some rules in place, and I gladly welcome them. But just in relation to basically to nightclubs and, as you said, entertainment, I mean, there is confusion. But I mean, again, a lot of people and, you know, cross parties, basically people are talking, basically they haven't worked in the industry, they haven't worked in nightclub scenes. Like, if a nightclub is open, John, a nightclub, basically, when you go to a nightclub, you go to dance, it's intermingling. Anybody that worked at a nightclub or has been in a nightclub knows what a nightclub is. Mm. So you cannot get social distance
just going to say that, Michael. It's absolutely impossible because anybody that's going to go to a nightclub, and let's call a spade here, young people are those who frequent nightclubs. They have been without this particular avenue being open to them for the last number of months now at this stage. They are obviously very anxious to get back. How can I put this delicately? They're anxious maybe to meet new people, establish new relationships, and they'll be hoping maybe to do that by attending a nightclub. But if they have to social distance, then how is that going to work?
You see, John, this is the point, and people are trying to basically implement this sort of stuff. In a nightclub, you can't have social distance. And basically, in fairness to the government, where they're coming from basically is they're trying to implement social distance where it's handier, where it's easier to imply. So basically, if you're going to a dance, you have to basically kind of have a social distance there. You can have people sitting at tables, all right, but when they get up to dance, they're going to intermingle. If you're going to a concert, you're going to be sitting down. You're not going to be, basically, that's where you are. In bars and restaurants, again, it's another easy place basically to implement because basically you bring your people in, you sit them at their table and you get a full service. Mm. But I mean, this is where a lot of confusion is coming in. We have to look at what it is. If you're going to a wedding, wedding guests are definitely going to get up and dance. I mean, you know, people
yeah,
say,
I want to talk to you. I want to talk to you about weddings, Michael, in just a couple of moments. But before we leave the whole issue of nightclubs, is there a feeling out there among those in the entertainment sector and hotel people working with hotels like yourself that nightclubs have got a better deal here than maybe live music venues? Say, for instance, there might be ballroom dancing, jiving, whatever going on, that the nightclubs seem to have got off a little bit more lightly here.
That Probably not, John, because at the reality of the situation, we're all glad to see everything opening up. Nightclubs have been closed for the longest. I'm in a nightclub myself.
Mm-hmm.
I see how it operates. Basically, Saturday night is the big night for a nightclub. So basically, you have to basically implement and you have to be checking for certain. So we're happy with that. But also, John, I think there is a bit of confusion. I mean, people saying you can go to a wedding or a country dance, but you cannot dance. To me, that's not right either. Basically, if you're going to a country scene and you're going to a dance, of course you can dance. But I mean, you have to keep at your table, you go up and dance. But I mean, the people are trying to implement the basic...
Yeah, but can you only dance with people at your table, Michael?
No, John. I mean, if anybody's telling you that's going on, they're telling lies.
Right.
We've got to be realistic here. We're in the game. We know how it operates. And basically, there's nobody in this game basically want to, put people's lives in danger. We were always there enforcing the rules. Long before COVID ever came in, we always had to make sure that people were in a stable mind, basically they were in a sober mind, they weren't basically aggressive. We were doing that as publicans and as business people all our lives. So this is only another step.
Okay, and you have the experience and the skill sets and expertise to deal with that. Let's focus on weddings for a moment, Michael, because I know it was a hugely difficult period for anybody that was trying to contemplate getting married during the COVID pandemic. The good news now is no more limits on wedding numbers?
Yes, John, and this is very much welcome. This is something I have been lobbying for ages because we were at a huge disadvantage here in Donegal, John, because basically you could go a half an hour up the road into Derry or Oma and basically you could have basically on the size of your venue. So those weddings taking place over the 200 people up there, and we were only able to now do 50 down here. I know I had moved to 100 there in the last two months, but I mean, we were at a huge disadvantage. The wedding market is huge to us in Donegal, and we welcome this. Also for brides and grooms and that. And people say, hotels make money, but a wedding basically gives so much to so many different companies. I mean, you have the wedding cars, you have the stationery, you have the flowers, you have the makeup, you have the hair. So there's a huge spin-off effect on a wedding. You kind of estimate what a wedding would bring to a local area because everybody is getting a turnout. You have the musicians, you have the bands, you have the cakes, you have the photographers, you have the video people. So it's a huge, huge welcome day for all them people and that. Also, it's very important for the bride and groom because now they can go back and invite the numbers they want to invite. Yes, maybe things might change. Maybe weddings might never go back to the size that they were and that, because here in Donegal and in rural Ireland, weddings were huge compared to the cities like Cork and Dublin, where the numbers would be a big. But I mean, we were very, well able to celebrate our weddings and our people. But we're back to that now, and I welcome that. Even though we still have to check for COVID certs.
For COVID certs. Well, that brings me on nicely, Michael, to the next question that I want to ask you. And this has just come in from one of our listeners who has texted in the programme this morning. They are claiming that there's a problem out there with vaccination certs. They claim, and indeed I've heard this as well, that there are fake vaccination certs available. People in bars and restaurants are looking at them, but not checking for ID. So more should be done in that regard. So again, from any premises that I have visited over the last number of weeks or months, yes, you have to present your vaccination cert, but you also have to carry your ID, your driver's license or whatever, to prove that you can match the cert with a form of identification. Now, I'm just thinking about this in the nightclub situation again. And picture the scene. Maybe, as you mentioned there, Saturday night, Sunday morning, the busiest time, quarter maybe past 12, everybody heading into the nightclubs, everybody in good spirits. Could this lead to problems in relation to trying to check for COVID certs and also with ID?
Yes, I'll put a bit more pressure on the owners and on nightclubs. But I mean, we got to look at the bigger picture here. That means 92% of people are vaccinated. I mean, I'd say probably that's over 12 years of age. So basically, nightclubs is over 20. Most nightclubs now are over 20. So if you put that in perspective, I'd say that's probably up to 96% of people are vaccinated. And that the element of people, people are saying it's not younger people that's vaccinated. I mean, it's a lot more. That's 300,000 people that's not vaccinated. Most of them are older people, believe it or not. And that the people that will not, like it or not,
they're going to have their vaccination certs on their phone, and they're going to need to bring some form of ID, otherwise they won't be getting in. It's that simple, isn't it, Michael?
Exactly, and that, you know, I mean, you know, the rules are there the same as basically, you know, for nightclubs where you always had to produce your ID coming. If you're someone coming underage, you always had to have an ID. You weren't getting in. So
right.
For young people coming to disco, they will be ready for that. They will be very much aware of how.
I remember it well, Michael, having to produce the ID. I'm only a few years gone by it, and if you believe that, you'll believe anything. But anyways, one more of the messages that we've got in here to the program this morning. And again, I think we've covered this, but just to clarify it, and I know a lot of our listeners now are looking forward to the return of country dancing, if we want to call it that. And one of our listeners here says, if you go to a country dance, are you able to get up and dance?
Of course they are, and we'll be only too glad to see them out dancing and see the dance floor full again. That's what people want. That's what people have waited for, and we've seen the light. And these people have waited nearly 18 months to 2 years to get out on a dance floor, and we're only too glad to see them back there.
All right.
Yes, they will have to produce the start coming in. And also, John, there's basically, you know, a lot of confusion about, basically, I heard yesterday people saying, for weddings, I want to put this out there as well, that basically you want to have a DJ at a wedding. You can have a band at a wedding as well. If you can dance to a DJ at a wedding, you can dance to a band at
yeah,
a wedding.
Yeah, I heard not that, Michael, been mentioned. And again, the school of thought was out there that you can listen to a DJ but not to a live music. And it's confusing everybody.
Exactly. This is the sort of stuff that's going on. And this is the sort of stuff that's going out there. You know, false information, wrong stuff that's going out there. So, I mean, we need to be very careful that we get the right message out there.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, we are open for business. What difference is dancing to a band is to a DJ? Well, basically, people think DJs or nightclubs are open, or it's only a nightclub you can have at a wedding. False
information again. Now, I know as well, Michael, that there's going to be specific information coming down the line from the government to those in the entertainment sector in relation to nightclubs and whatever. Is there anything in that information now that you would think that would be of paramount importance here that needs to be cleared up immediately?
Well, definitely, stuff like that, basically, like what your callers have said there, if you're going to a country dance, can you dance? Of course you can. Then messages need to go loud and clear. And I mean, you're not allowed to go to a country dance and you have to sit in your seat all night and you can't get up to dance. And then, if you're going to a concert, you're going to a concert. If you're going to a dance, you're going to a dance. You know, people know the difference from going to a dance or going to a concert. There's people that want to go to a concert, that want to sit down and listen to the music. There's other people that want to go and dance. And that. And basically, the choices that are there for them people. And it's very clear that we get the message out there loud and clear what is acceptable and what not. No matter where you go, you have to wear your mask and you have to produce your cert. That's what we implement. Where you can implement social distance, that's where you implement it. Basically, in a nightclub like this, you cannot implement it at a country dance because people have to get up and dance on the floor. Well, then basically, we have to make that very clear to people as well.
Okay, one last point that I just want to make to you as well, and again, it's a message that has come in here in relation to this. The messages are absolutely flying in here this morning. With all the people that are going to be working in the hospitality sector, who's going to be checking the staff certs? Again, I presume that comes down to the personal responsibility of the employer.
See, John, this is again, this is sort of basically where the information for people who's not working in the industry are not working. Basically, any question like that should be asked of people. Every morning, John, when I go into the clanry or any of my staff, the first thing their temperature is checked, is recorded, and it's put down. So if your temperature is not right, then you're not allowed in. Anybody has any symptoms are not allowed in. That's basically the rules. That's implemented. That's the same as you're coming in and you're clocking in to go to work. It's part of your day now. You don't blink an eye at it. So them measures and everything are set up in place. We have them in place. So, I mean, it's just another step. Yes, it's a little bit more extra work for employers and everybody. But, I mean, if you want to be basically where people are in a safe environment, you have to implement these things. And we have done that. And we want to make sure when people are coming to our premises, they know they're in a safe environment. And have an enjoyable
evening. The final one I want to put to you as well, Michael, and it comes in from a musician who does an awful lot of weddings. What time can wedding bands play until? I have several bookings for weddings, but I have no information as of yet. That's, I presume, from a musician.
Well, if you have the exemption, basically, it's back now to late. Basically, from Friday night, we're back to 2 o'clock, finish. And basically, the exemption, you can go basically till about half 2.